Third hour, Friday edition, Robbie and Rex Show, 102.5, 106 for the game. Paul Carlson again for Robbie, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Happy to welcome on our guest line, as we do every Friday at this time, another guy who, like PK, is out there braving the heat every day at Titans camp, Teron Davenport, ESPN, NFL Nation. TD, just right off the jump, the number one. I know it's 2 days of no pads, so there may not be an obvious number one. But if you had to say the number one impression, takeaway, thing that has struck you so far on the field from these Titans?
That's a tough question. I would probably say just because we're fresh off a really good defensive showing, I would probably say just the way that the defense looked. That's probably the number one thing that has impressed me. But I mean, that doesn't exactly mean that they're going to go out and be like, you know, the 0-1 Ravens defense or Titans defense, though.
Well, who on that defense do you like so far? I think Winston being out there seems to be just the fact that he's available. We've talked about that today is a good thing. But who are you looking at saying, okay, I can see something here?
Yeah, it's got to be Cody Barton. And obviously the interceptions that he has gotten, the interception. But then on top of that, I think just the way he communicates, like he's the one that's just directing everybody. You know, it's kind of like a traffic cop, you know what I mean? And he's just making sure everybody's in position and those things. And I would say him, but I mean, I love the energy that Femi Oladejo brings. It's good to see actually all of the edge guys. You know, there's a long run. Like they're running it down with the running back, whoever it may be. So those will be a couple guys.
What do you make of the Keandre Coburn cut? I mean, he certainly wasn't the last guy on the roster. I understand there's a bit of a numbers game there, and they want to see Philip Bleedy and Cam Horsley and Devontae O'Malley and Isaiah Rakes and Carlos Watkins. But isn't there a decent chance that none of those guys are better than Keandre Coburn?
I tell you what, that one really surprised me because I remember 2 days ago, like on day one, I'm sitting there looking. I'm like, well, you know what? Jeffrey Simmons looked like he could be a defensive end. Mm-hmm. So if they want to play him a little more off the edge, then you got Coburn and you got Tavondre Sweat, and now you don't have Coburn. So that one did surprise me, but you know, I was talking to Rhett Bryan, and he was saying how much he thinks Cam Horsley will be able to emerge. So we'll see, but it definitely surprised me.
And go ahead. Okay, I was going to say very early again, 2 days, no pads, all that stuff. But I am obviously interested in any sort of indication at all from that offensive line. PK was saying earlier, you know, he feels like Dan Moore, has a pretty good presence out there. Yeah. Is that what you're saying? Command. What do you think of him and the rest of that group right now, TD? I mean, if the defense, yeah, it's always the same thing, right? It's like the defense doing well. Okay, so what the heck does that mean for the offense?
Yeah, well, I mean, Dan Moore, he's doing a good job of keeping guys in front of him. And that's something that he said that he did well last year despite the 15 sacks he allowed. But, I mean, I haven't really focused as much on the O-line just because they're not in pads, right? So, I mean, there have been some pressures from Draymond Jones, Femi Oladejo, Jeffrey Simmons. You know, you see those guys, and, you know, when they blitz, they're getting pressure. But the real appearance by the O-line is going to be next week.
Yeah. A lot of praise from Brian Callahan for Williams, that inside linebacker.
Yeah.
Have you really noticed it? Do you think, I mean, I would expect, you know, every time I get high on somebody at that position, 2 days later there's another guy there. Do you figure we see another guy there soon, or you think he's started to stand out for them in a way that's more than just lip service?
Yeah, the thing with him, and it's funny because that word patience comes up in pretty much everything, but he's someone that you got to be a little bit patient with because he's going from safety to linebacker, and things get up on you a lot quicker at linebacker than they do at safety. But he's starting to make the adjustment. I saw him get in the backfield a couple times, you know, like they blitzed him, and he got in there. Then a few other times, you know, he just found the football and went and got it. So he's one of those, like, see ball, get ball type of guys. I think it is real, you know, that he's, you know, taking the snaps where he does. But, I mean, it's going to be a competition, right? He, Cedric Gray, as well as Otis Reese, the fourth, you know, those guys are all going to, you know, get to rotate. And a lot like offensive line, when the pads go on, that's when you really could evaluate the linebackers, right? Because they're coming up and truly getting their run fits, and they're able to thump the running backs and those type of things.
We didn't see Daryl Baker during the spring. He was still recovering. I can't remember. Maybe it was an ankle. I think it's good to see him back towards the front of the line with this group. Are you a buyer on Daryl Baker? I am. I thought he did a good job last year. I don't know where Chris Harris factors into that, but certainly Wilson is a cornerback defensive coordinator, a back-end defensive coordinator, and I tend to have faith, with or without Snead, that the corners and the back end of this defense are going to be good. It's just a matter of how long they're asked to cover with the anemic pass rush.
Yeah, you know, it's a lot more digestible seeing Daryl Baker Jr. and Roger McCreary back there, because now, you know, every time there's a passing play, you don't got to look at your roster and like, oh, yeah, I know who number 40 is or 36, whatever, you know what I mean? So I'm a buyer on Daryl Baker. I'm not saying like he's, you know, some type of shutdown corner or anything like that, but I think he could fill the role. And to me, you know, what really sold me on him last year was the Vikings game. I mean, there were a couple times where it's like he's one-on-one with Justin Jefferson. Justin Jefferson didn't score a touchdown, you know what I mean? So I think that's something you do have to take into account.
Well, let's stick with the back end, and really for both of you, what do you guys think? I know early, but that is a better – you can get a little bit better gauge with the skill guys early. What do you guys think of Kevin Winston Jr.? We know Xavier Woods has been added. Mike Brown is a guy, you know, obviously who can play. And also TD, Amani Hooker. We know what a good player he is and has been for a long time. He's, you know, crazy to me that he's only 27. But he has had injury issues. So, I'm like, he's like 30, right? But obviously he was like 21 coming out of Iowa. But what do you think of the safeties? What do you think of Winston? And then what about the idea of extending Hooker?
Yeah, I think you're probably going to see a lot of three safety looks because, remember, you know, Denard Wilson is a guy that loves the defensive back position. And I think you're going to see that. And just the way Winston could play in the box, I think that does help. And he's a guy that you could take and match up with tight ends, you know what I mean? I'm just seeing him back. You know, it's been a good thing because I wasn't sure when he was, you know, going to be able to be back because of that knee recovering from the ACL. But he actually had a pick yesterday, too. He and one of the receivers, they were wrestling for the ball as they went to the ground. And
it was Helm, I think.
He was able. Yeah, so tight end, so Gunnar Helm. So, yeah, I mean, you have that. I would expect to see him, like I said, get a lot of work in some sub packages, and later on in the year he could even emerge and become the starter next to Amani Hooker over Xavier Woods, who's only here on a 1 year. Yeah, I believe it's
no, it's a 2 year.
Oh, it is two. Okay,
I don't know that there's guarantee in the second year though.
Got you. So you do have that Hooker. To me, you know, I think it was a crime that he only received votes as far as the top 10 safeties, you know what I mean? I thought he would be in that mix, but he's a guy that just knows how to find the football, and that's been his thing since he got here. But the only detriment is he hasn't played a full season. So you have to consider that when you're going ahead and you know, looking at that position as far as extending Hooker.
I think Winston looks the part. I love that they're three deep. Mike Brown's a feisty player, but he's best on special teams and as the fourth. I think, Joe, they're going to have packages there but you might not see every package every week. You know, depends on
the
matchup. So maybe Winston's super involved 1 week, but another week, you know, the personnel of the other team doesn't dictate it.
Makes sense. All right, TD, last question for you. Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation. That's kind of our question of the day. If you'd pick one thing about a head coach in the NFL that's most important, what would it be?
Being fair, firm, and consistent. I think that's the most important thing. And you look at all of the top coaches, that's what you get from there. They're consistent, they're fair, and they're firm. So to me, that would be the one.
Very interesting. All right. Teron Davenport, TD, ESPN NFL Nation. Appreciate it, man. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you next week, and I know you guys will be out there tomorrow at Nissan Stadium.
See you tomorrow. All three of us at a very exclusive dinner. And, of course, we know TD will probably overdress. We'll talk about this after the break. Joe, very anxious to underdress.
Shorts and tank top. Count on it. Thanks, TD.
All right. Take care.
And, by the way, we're going to give away a pair of tickets right now. How about a pair of tickets to see Ghost? What do you think, Ian? Ghost is playing Bridgestone Arena this Saturday. And we're going to go caller 3 for Ghost. We come back, we'll react to TD and get a little bit more into that question about head coaches in the NFL. Very interesting answer from him. Robbie and Rex are 1025, 1063 the game. Hey, guys. Did you know that Titans training camp has started? It has. And you can tune in for player interviews and latest updates on the Titans as the team preps for the 25-26 season. Coverage of Titans training camp presented by Macero and 12 South and Parman Energy Group. Welcome back into Robbie and Rex Show. 1025, 106 for the game. PK in for Robbie today to wrap up the week. Oh, go ahead. What do you have to say,
well,
PK?
So we're going to this, you know, dinner, no details, on Sunday night.
Yeah. And, oh, wait. Hold on. Is that you? God dang it, PK.
So,
I'm trying to make a point and you screw it up.
You know, a reasonably nice restaurant. And, and you immediately, your number one concern is what can you wear?
I don't like dress up places.
How sloppy can you be?
I don't like dress up places.
It's not like a suit and tie place. It's like a throw on a pair of khakis
like
and
they're not going to make me wear a jacket. Shirt. Like, give me a house jacket to wear. Okay, all right.
So why is this such a nuisance for you?
I want to wear shorts. I don't want to wear pants.
I want to wear shorts too. But to go to this place, it's appropriate to throw on a pair of shoes and a pair of pants.
So what are you wearing? What pants are you wearing?
I have they're between khakis and like light whitish jeans, tannish jeans.
Oh, God.
But they're very light.
Well, I don't want to wear khakis.
I'm in an air-conditioned car. I'm leaving my house in an air-conditioned car to this place where I go up from a parking lot to an escalator into an air-conditioned place and then run the same route back. There's no opportunity, really, to sweat.
But what if I want to, walk and go get ice cream or something? I'm screwed.
Well, then that's on you.
Are you wearing a short sleeve? Are you wearing a polo or are you wearing a button-down?
I'll probably wear a polo, but I'll also probably bring a pullover because these places always tend to be freezing to me.
Well, I've never been to this particular place. Is it freezing? I'd feel better.
I don't know. It's probably freezing.
Is there anything
other
than
red? Every place I go is freezing.
Is there anything other than red meat at this place? Are you guys trying to kill me off?
I'm sure that they have a fish selection and a chicken selection.
I just want
But it is a steak place.
I just want to wear shorts and flip-flops and eat chicken, okay?
That's pathetic this is such a big deal to you. Now, I hope Teron doesn't go all the way to a bow tie.
Well, that's the thing, too, is I should have even – the fact that – I mean, TD is going to be like –
Is he going to bow tie?
Well, he's dressed to the nines. I don't – I mean, the thing is – I'm trying to think. Yeah, I guess that's it. We've hung out on the road for TD's just like in a T-shirt and jeans or whatever. But, you know, you just typically – when you see TD, he's like dressed really nice. So it's automatically going to...
Well, this doesn't require, you know, him to be that nice, but some guys going out for steaks.
Yeah, yeah.
In your case, not steaks.
Texter says...
Maybe someday you could be like me and get gout.
Texter here says, requesting a photo from this dinner. I'm sure PK's on some weird website.
I will send a
He'll
photo.
He'll TikTok it out.
There might be a private photo of the group, but I'll get a photo of what Joe is wearing.
Well, if that's the case, maybe I will just try to dress down. And see
why don't you wear the gout boot?
I'm going to do the
show. Talking about your clothes.
Wear the gout boot. Bring the cane.
I'm going to do Sean Penn. Top hat. I'm going to go Sean Penn at All American Burger and just see if they kick me out. No shirt, no shoes, no dice.
I don't think you'll get kicked out.
If I take my shirt off? I would hope so. Yeah, Jackson said, it sounds like you've never been let out of the house before. No! I'm just saying, I hate the places where it's like, oh, you don't have a jacket, sir? Well, here, you can wear a jacket from the house. I don't. First of all, that tells me the dinner's going to be ridiculously expensive. It's not way overpriced.
Stuffy place. It's not an inexpensive place, but it's an occasion.
Yeah, it is. Okay. All right, so that was an interesting answer from TD on coaching. The firm, fair, and consistent. So, again, if you take that, I agree with that, by the way. I think that's very important. Like, good work environment where you kind of understand the expectation. I mean, it's just like any work environment, right? You want your boss to be that, what he just said. But I guess that answer.
It wasn't singular enough for me. Like his thing. I understand where he's coming from, and I like that, but I want more pointed. You're nodding, which isn't good.
Well, that was Ian. I'm trying to run this show, man. A lot of stuff going on.
I was talking
on.
To Joe
Ian,
for a
stop
sec.
Stop talking to him.
Well, we do. We have a caller line. We'll get to him in a second. But I will say real quick, I feel like that answer is that, in other words, to me, I take that as leader of, again, if
leader
we're going to,
leader of
men coach is more important. So we'll get into that, but let's go to.
But I think if you're what I'm saying, smart innovator, guys see success in that leads men.
Sure. I mean, ideally you have some of both, but Rob's asking if you have Michael Scott's fun genes. So, but let's bring in our friend Adam from Portland. Adam, how you doing, buddy?
What's up, man? Hey, it's weird because, all right, so I've known Ian for a long time, 10 years, something like that. It would be like if you were trying to force Ian just like out of the blue to do something that he's not comfortable with, like be noisy. Like, it's what, because it felt forced, almost like Brinker was like, hey, I need you to bring energy today. And he's like, well, you know, I'm not an energy guy, but I'll try. And that's what it looks like when people do that. It's like if you were to tell PK, hey, I'm going to hire you.
Hey, don't be a jerk for 5 minutes. Can you do it?
Hold on. Let Adam speak.
All right, sorry.
Well, PK, go do a Southern accent. Like, you're going to look stupid doing it. Like, you know, it's not what you do. It's not that you don't do things good. It's just you don't do that good. So, I don't know, dude. It felt forced. Jeff Fisher was a quiet guy who could also get loud. If you remember in the Super Bowl, he's like, go win the game. He's yelling at him. But that's natural. Wait, what that was yesterday was, like, super weird, dude. Like, I don't know. I walked away going, Brinker made him do that. That's the impression I got.
Brinker's not making him do
anything.
Brinker's not making him do anything. And I just think.
I agree, but I do think it was forced. I just don't think it was natural. Let's listen to the actual speech. And I mean, the matchup was
okay,
amazing.
Okay, 1 second.
But yeah.
Yeah. My other thing, and I'll listen to this and I'll give you an honest opinion, but I just think we tend to take these snippets. I'm not saying it needs context. It doesn't necessarily need context. But even if this is some forced snippet, it doesn't tell us some big thing about Brian Callahan.
Well, I agree. But I think the context actually, I think the context lends itself to, what's going on here? Why are you forcing something like this? But just listen to it.
The energy that I felt when you guys came back in the building. I feel your confidence. I feel your excitement, right? Our execution, our effort, and our elimination of sins, right? That's the Titans trio. You want to see execution, you want to see unbelievable effort, and you want to see a team that plays a clean brand of football. Those are the things that we're focused on. What I get motivated by is the way that you guys came into work today. That's what motivates me. That's what gets me excited because I know what we have in this room because I believe in what you guys are capable of. And when you come in the building and you wake up in the morning, that's what should get you going, is that you know you got a group of guys in here that have put a ton of time and effort into it, and that we're going to be a team that plays hard and makes life hell for any team we play, because we are capable of being a damn good football team. How many days until we play our first game? Anybody know? 47 days. So we should feel the urgency every time we walk in. It should be urgent as we have to make each other better every day we step out.
So there it is. There's the actual speech. Yeah, this is not some scandal, okay? But like Callahan to me, PK, he is what he needs to be, what he was hired to be, what he is, right? Really is he is a spinoff of the McVay Shanahan thing in the NFL, and so I don't think that any of that stuff helps you at all. It doesn't necessarily hurt you either. But I mean, if you're a player in that room, did you buy that?
Here's my thing. I think it's a guy who's not naturally loud,
right,
trying to project himself and be enthusiastic. Is it inauthentic? I don't think it's inauthentic. I think it's a little bit out of character. Right?
Yeah, sir.
And I don't think there's a crime in that.
It's not a crime.
I think he wants to ring to the back row of a 90-person room. And so I think maybe if you're super aware of these things, you don't put that out.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. Like, they put it out, and I'm like, I don't know that this is like, again,
it's not the best representation of who Brian Callahan is.
Right. Like with the fans, I don't think it helps you. Again, does that, I mean, at this point, there are some fans that it doesn't matter. Until you show me a winning football product, you suck. You're dumb. You're a bad coach. Right. Like but I agree. Like it's, because the thing is, Charles brought up the Levis screaming thing, which I thought was interesting as a, I mean, to me, I know around here, it was like, good to see. Good to see you just get genuinely
But then
pissed.
There were some dainty people, and John Glennon was one of them, and I hated him, and I told him. Like, he was like, did you do too much? Do you regret that? I was like, don't go that. Here's a coach
dainty.
Showing himself to be what he is, having a true moment, and you're asking questions that would potentially make him check himself the next time.
Damn you,
that's not
you
what we
dainty
want.
John
he
Glennon.
Wasn't the only one, but that's not what you want. Is for Brian Callahan the next time he's going to have a real moment checking himself and saying, am I going to get crushed for this? Is this, you want real moments. Don't ask him questions that are going to make him consider, is this the right thing to do?
I'm glad we can
encourage
this,
him to be himself.
I'm glad we can encourage turn this into a rip on Glennon.
Yeah, we'll see what Glennon
we'll
wears.
See what he wears. Sonny. All right, we've got a lot of reaction to this. We will continue. Robbie and Rex, 125, 106 through the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex, 125, 106 through the game. Another Tom Petty gem here from Ian. It's kind of unofficially become Tom Petty Day. How did we start on Tom Petty
because
today?
I watched a documentary last
That's
night.
Right. There's a doc on Tom Petty. I got to make sure to get to that. Tons of reaction right now. A lot of it is just ripping the Callahan speech. Again, it's not the point. We've talked about the speech and the hat and whatever. Although it is, this is pretty funny. Coin Clarksville says, he sounds like someone who wants to be a leader but ran his pep talk through ChatGPT. Again, someone said it contrived. And yeah, I mean, I think that's fair. But again, to me, this is about the bigger discussion of what is most important as a head coach in the NFL. So again, TD's answer, firm, fair, consistent, that's leader of men. I think it's a fascinating topic because you would take Vrabel, right? You would certainly take Dan Campbell. I think you would take Mike Tomlin and you would put them in the category of these are motivators and all that stuff. I would still argue. Now, Dan Campbell's really interesting this year because everybody loves Dan Campbell and they've done a hell of a job. They've done a hell of a job building a roster. And he is a motivator, and they do, I feel like, genuinely love playing for him and all that stuff. But I think there's a severe limitation there. I think he lost two great coordinators on both sides of the ball who are now head coaches in this league, and that's where you get into, you know, okay, so how far does that go for you? Like you said earlier, PK, Vrabel, I would have said as the Titans boarded, as we sat in the absolute freeze of Green Bay, Wisconsin on that Thursday night in 2022, and I think Vrabel's record was 58-38 at that point or something like that. I would have said, is he a great head coach? I would have said yes. Now, he's a good to very good head coach. And that's a lot of it's out of his hands, right? But the fact is, they did start going down the drain hard at the end of his tenure.
Yeah, and I think the thing that has a chance to bite him now is probably not as much the coaching as it is his hand in the personnel that he's going to coach. That would be my projection. Here's a question for you. I think one of the best coaches in the league is in Baltimore, John Harbaugh. How do you characterize his
style? No, it's so funny that you say that, because I was going to bring him up too. It's like, he's one of those, okay, which is
steady.
I think he's both. And I think that's the ideal thing is, to me, first of all, the number one thing for me is you are smart and your players know you are smart and they respect you and they believe that you're going to do the job. And you do the job. You can actually get out there and game plan against someone else in the league and find advantages. You can adjust in game and find advantages. You can maximize what you have because you are doing smart things. That to me is number one,
fits
period.
Mine. Smart, innovative. They innovated to create an offense around Lamar Jackson.
Absolutely. No, I mean, that's a huge thing.
He's low key. He fits TD's thing.
Yeah, no question. He's great. Obviously, he's a great head coach. And frankly, and I guess we'll see with
But he's not a Vrabel, Campbell, Tomlin. He's way more low key than that.
Yes, but I also think that to me Callahan. I mean, he needs to be the cool guy. Again, do you need to hold people accountable? Yes, you need to hold people accountable with just there's a consequence if you, right. But it doesn't have to be get over here. Yeah, and that's what I think people get into too much.
What fans want for holding people accountable is for guys to be put in a stockade, you know, outside the practice field so that you can see it. How guys are held to account usually happens behind the scenes.
Right.
There are fines. There are conversations. There is embarrassment in meetings that we never know about.
And that we'll never know about. And that's where Vrabel, to me, I think where he is great is, one, he actually does – he BS's with the guys. They call him Vrabes. It's, come on, yeah, I mean, you don't need to call me Coach Vrabel. And, oh, you got a family thing? Get out of here, right?
Right. He also
it's
did
a good work environment. But also in any meeting, in any situation, he will call you on your BS.
And he also publicly accounted. People bitched about some stuff, but he would say, don't do stupid ass hurt the team and name it.
Well, now, sometimes, like, think about the opener in 21 when, like, the post game, he's sitting there talking about, I don't care about what kind of car. I mean, he's sitting there ripping Julio Jones without saying his name, right? But Julio Jones bothered the hell out of him a lot of that year, and he kind of danced around it. But, yes, that is – so that, I think, is – that's who he is. And that's where I think he has a great feel. He was a player. It does help him. And to get to the thing I said earlier, trolling Big Joe, I mean, that's the difference. That is the highest level player. It's an advantage. But so many of these coaches don't have that. Some of these coaches were like D3 quarterbacks who then were grad, and then they were a QC guy, blah, 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 right? I still think when it comes down to it, innovate, but also just have staying power. Because sometimes you have coaches who innovate and have a period of time. I mean, and I know this is more college and pro, but he was in the NFL. Like, Chip Kelly to me is a great example of someone who came up with some stuff and no one could deal with it for a while, and then they caught up, and it's like, he's not that good of a head coach. He's not the full picture of a head coach. And you have to have – number one to me is definitely Bill Walsh, like you said. Like, that's – there you go.
The path,
but you also have to be able to handle a huge room full of people.
Callahan's path, now that we know him some, probably needs to be LaFleur's path, right? Did we think LaFleur was going to be a great head coach with his persona? He wasn't a great media guy in Nashville by any means. Now, he had a whole different situation because he inherited a great team, right? I mean, he inherited a top
great
franchise,
yes,
with a great quarterback situation. Callahan hasn't done that, but he needs to follow that path. Be the smartest guy in the room, not the rah-rah guy. That's not his thing. Can he follow that on a more difficult track than LaFleur? I wouldn't eliminate that as a possibility for him yet.
I think it's a great point. And I think also another really important trait of a coach is to make a good choice when you get your shot at a head coaching job, right? Like, because Callahan, now I'm not saying Carolina would.
That's where he's going. That was his.
But, you know, that's sometimes you just are screwed because of where you are. But
I think this is better than Carolina. I think ownership here is a little more mellow than Carolina.
Well, yeah. I mean, you can't really get worse in some ways than Dave Tepper. All right, I want to go to, on Callahan, go to Lewis Riddick from yesterday on DVD. He had some really interesting thoughts. Here's Lewis Riddick.
And this is one of the things that I talk, that I think about a lot. And it's hard to do this, but I would hope that the current regime does not automatically just look at him and be looking for reasons to fire him so they can just bring in, quote unquote, their guy. Because whenever you do that kind of stuff, whenever you just kind of automatically in your head have, this ain't my guy, I'm just looking for my guy. See, first of all, you're already kind of like thinking that you're smarter than you probably really are. And you think you have all the answers when you really don't, because nobody really does. Instead of just taking it as it comes and taking it organically and trusting the fact that, look, the people who were there before him and a lot of other people who weren't even associated with Tennessee would tell you that Coach Callahan is a damn good coach, okay? And we all know that success and failure is always on a razor's edge in the NFL, and it isn't just on one thing. There are plenty of things that can screw that up. And a lot of times it's the people up top who think they know every damn thing are the ones who are screwing it up. So just let him, give him the resources, objectively evaluate it, and as if you are seeing progression up front, balance, Cam looks more comfortable, the team is playing a winning style of football, to get to your part about the defense is playing winning football, meaning they're not just getting run through, having, you know, time of possession totally out of whack to where you can't even get your young quarterback on the ball, you know, on the field. They're turning the football over at a reasonable rate. Then I think this should be one of those building development seasons to where you go, okay, we've established the foundation. We brought in a lot of new people in here. Let's see what 2026 brings.
That was Lewis Riddick on DVD yesterday. And the first point he talked about, we haven't really gotten into, but I mean, I think we both 100% agree, right? If there's any lame duck in their minds, I think they've completely screwed the whole thing up already. It's completely botched already.
I agree. Listen, if they had some inkling, unless this season is a complete botch, if they have some inkling about their guy, it should be overruled, overwhelmed by their other guy, their biggest guy, Cam Ward. And for Cam Ward to maximize success, he needs consistency. Time and time again, you hear about the young quarterback who is thrown off, slowed down, stalled, screwed by multiple offensive systems and too many coaches in his head early. And the absolute best thing that could happen for Cam Ward, so long as Brian Callahan and his staff aren't disasters this year, is returning from arrest after 2025, back to Brian Callahan and Nick Holtz and Bo Hardigree. That, and Chad Brinker and Mike Borgonzi know that. And Amy Adams Strunk needs to know that.
We got a lot of reaction. We'll get to as much as we can as we wrap up the show. Robbie and Rex Show at 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Final segment of Friday. Robbie and Rex Show at 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Turn that mic on, Joe.
Thank you. And PK, I think we've had a good discussion today. It's really interesting. You know, I think some people are obviously just out on Callahan, but I think that I think I generally agree with what Lewis Riddick said, which is, you have to give it more time. I think we're aligned on this.
A lot on this team. You have to give more time.
It's a bad, bad team. Dennis says, I think the most important things for a coach are trust and respect. I think those things are really important too. But like, I just think there's a limitation. Like, you have to have level of that. Your players can't think they can't think little of you as a person.
Look,
right?
It's a pretty young team. If you're a young guy on this team, if you're a first contract guy on this team, you don't have a choice but to trust the coach.
Sure.
And you don't really have a choice but to respect the coach. So I agree with what he said, but I don't think – like, I think you got to be veteran heavy for those things to be that big of an issue. Because what's your choice? If you're these two fourth-round receivers, Io Manoah and DK, if you choose not to trust and respect them, what's your career course? Right?
Yeah, I mean, of course. I mean, most of these guys in this room, I mean, seriously, most of the guys in the room are just trying to be in the league. They're trying to somehow get in the league.
Now, so, I think a guy can, you know, I think you have to buy into the head coach. You could say, you know, after a while, I don't know about my position coach. I'm not seeing the things that he's telling me translate.
Like we know into, Taylor Lewan, for example, had some issues with various
with
position
Kevin
coaches.
Carter. I don't see what he's telling me translate. But that wasn't his first coach, right? Taylor had a point of reference from Grimm to Carter, so he saw a drop off and had a point of reference. But if you come in and you're first position coach, you got to be invested in that guy for a long while before you would lose trust and buy in and all of those things. So I think on this team, for the percentage of young guys there are, now if Tyler Lockett, and I think Tyke Tolbert is one of the better position coaches on this team, but if Tyler Lockett came in and after training camp, it's totally hypothetical, didn't buy in, then it's his job as a pro to fake it.
Yeah.
For the sake of the young, he can't let the young guys see that.
That's a good point. And obviously, you know, your veterans also, it's like, I mean, like they set the tone too, I think, in terms of just for the organization, like, do they respect this particular coach or not? And I think with Callahan, I think the mistake was the rookie coordinators, right? And then you have a bad special teams coordinator last year. So, like, that stuff didn't help him at all. I still, you know,
it's too much new last year.
I've heard some people say, well, how the heck is this guy, how are you supposed to hire this guy? Why would you hire a guy who all he did was just sit there and, you know, and design offense and he didn't, you know, but that is the league now. I mean, like, and there are successful coaches.
He's hardly an outlier.
Right. He's not an outlier. He's more the norm, or if not a very popular route to become a head coach. Some of them do completely flame out, like Nathaniel Hackett that Charles brought up. Right.
But a lot of them succeed.
Right. I mean, there's more success than fail in this way in the NFL of doing this type of hire.
Would you like for him to have called plays for a year? Yeah. But not all of them do. Some of them are with head coaches who are very good, successful play callers, and they don't get that chance. LaFleur broke out of the Rams and came here saying, hey, I'm going to get at least a year of play calling experience, and it was a good path for him.
Yeah, and to that point, you know, we had a text on our personal text line from someone, you know, in the org who, you know, I think there was a lot of skepticism all across the board about, Matt LaFleur is he going to be the head coach of Green Bay Packers? Really? That dude? He's a head coach? But
they made the move early.
The point made to us was be the smartest guy, don't be the rah-rah guy, and that is Callahan. Callahan has got to – he has to demonstrate his competence and that, yeah, I'm giving you guys a chance. We can do things because of what I'm coming up with. I just think that's more important than anything else.
Yeah, and I think the number one thing we could say about Callahan is there were indications that offensive scheme could work.
That's where you get into nuance. Or some people would say, where, what? And I would say, dude, if you can't block anyone, so many things that you draw up will look bad.
Well, we really have to narrow it down, right? And he admitted as much with this offseason thing. They were in second and long way too much. They had way too many three and outs. They had way too many penalties. They had way too many botched assignments, all of that. If they could clean that up, not go from a complete mess to completely clean, get from, you know, ranking in the high 20s to ranking in the middle of the league, then we'll see many more chances for his stuff to work. Because they ranked in the high 20s, in terms of being in these bad situations, it was a very condensed opportunity for his stuff to show us that it could work. Because then they were trailing, then they were, you know, so many things had gone wrong that the situations where his stuff could work were condensed to a ridiculous degree.
I agree. Now, then you get into... that is not the only thing, right? And that's where you have to have some blend. It's not just that. It's not It is also handling BS in the locker room. It's also it is holding people accountable. I mean, it.
Yeah, no, he didn't handle the Jeff Simmons thing with Andrew well. I mean, how you don't kick a guy off the practice field after that, or that was after practice. But it, something has to happen there where.
So that was a play, like some sort of public admonishment, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, again, that's a rookie coach, and now he's come in. He's trying some different things. Again, I'm not overreacting to that speech. I just, to me, it was just like, you don't need that stuff, man. You don't need that stuff. But I also, as much as I think he deserves a time and a chance and all that, he might be bad. He might be a bad head coach.
Might be, yeah. We don't know yet. We're too unwilling to say about things in this business. We don't know yet.
Right, you always have to take a side. Like if I had to bet right now, I'm not betting. I would bet against him because of the roster, because they're still so far away to me to being a really good team. But
I mean,
you know, that. But again, there's just so much to it.
I would bet on him being the coach next year.
Okay.
But I don't know if he's a good coach or not.
There we go.
Don't block the box. Be sure to lock your locks. Happy to be here 2 days this week. Thanks for the invitation. Hope they keep coming.
Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, coming up next.